onyx and the jasper. They were enclosed in ounces of gold in their enclosings. And the stones were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, every one with his name according to the 12 tribes. And they made upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. And they made 2 ounces of gold and 2 gold rings, and put the 2 rings in the 2 ends of the breastplate. And they put the 2 wreathen chains of gold and the 2 rings on the ends of the breastplate. And the 2 ends of the 2 wreathen chains they fastened to the 2 ouches and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And they made 2 rings of gold and put them on the 2 ends of the breastplate upon the border of it, which was on the side of the ephod inward. And they made 2 other golden rings and put them on the 2 sides of the ephod underneath, toward the forepart of it, over against the other coupling thereof, above the cuirass girdle of the ephod. And they did bind the breastplate by his rings under the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it might be above the cuirass girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate might not be loosed from the ephod, as the Lord commanded Moses. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, please instruct us and help us and guide us and give us what we need this morning. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name and please for his sake. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. All right, brethren, you know, here we are in Exodus 39, and we're up to the different parts here of the high priest's garments, and then in chapter 39 we're going to see some of the garments of the lower priests. But I want you to notice here in chapter 39, verse 1, it says, "And of the blue and purple and scarlet they made cloths of service to do service in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron, as the Lord commanded Moses." Notice it says, to do service in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron. Now, brethren, Aaron was the high priest. Aaron was the high priest. And here we have a little miniature Aaron here, from this model we've got here. There's Aaron, the high priest. And then you had these guys, the lower priests. And, brethren, he just couldn't wear just anything to do service. He had to have special garments, holy garments made, that he wore so that he could do service in the holy place. Take your Bible a minute and go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. And 1 Peter 2, I want you to look here at verse number 5. 1 Peter 2, verse number 5, the Bible says this, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Now, brethren, that Old Testament priest, he was ordained and anointed and sanctified to offer up sacrifices to the Lord. They would bring their sacrifice and the priest there would offer those up. But you and I, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and through the anointing of the Spirit of God by the new birth, you and I are believer priests. And you and I don't offer up physical sacrifice, but we offer up instead spiritual sacrifices. The Bible speaks of these in Hebrews, giving thanks, brethren, is a spiritual sacrifice. To witness, brethren, I believe, and to offer glory and worship to God, such things are spiritual sacrifices that you and I offer up. And, brethren, as Aaron, and I will say this to you also, brethren, those sacrifices he offered, listen, there was blood shed for those sacrifices. And, brethren, the spiritual sacrifices we offer to God should always have in view the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. That's what, brethren, our witness should center around. What Christ did for us and gave Himself for us. Our worship should be on the grounds of the death and resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the blood that He shed for our sins. That's what our worship should center around. Our thanksgiving, our praise, it should all center around what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. What He did, the blood sacrifice that He made for us. This is what the grounds of our worship should center around, and our service, all right? So, but we offer spiritual sacrifices now. But brethren, Aaron, to do this service, had to have holy garments on. Take your Bible, go to Exodus 40. Exodus 40. And Exodus 40, I want you to look at verse 12. Exodus 40, verse 12, the Bible says this, "And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons, and clothe them with the coats. And thou shalt anoint them, as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations." Now you notice, these garments were to be put on them so they could accomplish service for the Lord. Aaron had the garments of the high priest with the ephod and then the breastplate and then later on we're going to find out, you know, he had the robe of the ephod and had the pomegranates and veils and the pomegranate and the different things and then the lower priests had just their garments were not as elaborate, though they did have these girdles that they had around them. Belts and such that were very colorful from what we see. But brethren, they had these garments that they were to put on as they served. And brethren, let me say this. The garments that Aaron was to wear as he performed his services were described as holy garments. As holy garments. Brethren, if you and I are to faithfully serve the Lord, we must put on some holy garments also. If you're not, listen, if you're saved, if you are a believer priest, you can now offer spiritual sacrifice to God. You know what else you can do? Listen, that priest would intercede. He was a go-between with the people. Now, we know our mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. But you and I can intercede for others. We can pray, "Oh God, deal with this person's heart. Lord, bring them under Holy Ghost conviction. Help them, Father, to see their sin. Oh, Father, help them to see Christ Jesus." You and I can labor and intercede in prayer for others. Right? There are priestly functions that you and I are to serve and perform in. But brethren, just as that priest had to have on holy garments, if you and I are going to perform faithful service as believer priests, we must have holy garments upon us also if we're to faithfully serve the Lord. And take your Bible with that in mind and go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. But let me say this to you. Let me say this. That I said if we're to faithfully serve the Lord, we must put on these holy garments. But listen, we must make sure, first of all, that we have a right to wear these garments. Make sure you're saved. Make sure you're saved. You can't, listen, only the priests had a right to wear these holy garments. And brother, let me tell you something. The garments, the holy garments that you and I need to array ourselves with, you can't put these things on unless you're saved. You can't put the garments we're getting ready to look at on unless you are saved. Make sure that you have a right to put these garments on. Make sure that you are a believer priest. Make sure that you have been born again. Colossians chapter 3. And in Colossians 3, I want you to look with me at verse number 12. Now, in the previous verses, Paul had told them to put off certain things. Now in verse number 12, Paul says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Now, did you see that, brethren? Paul had previously told them in Colossians 3 to put off certain things. Now he tells them to put on certain things. And brethren, these things that he's told them to put on, our brethren, I believe the garments that you and I, as believer priests, should put on. Bowels of mercies and kindness and tenderness and humbleness of mind. Meekness, long-suffering. And then above all, he says, the bond of charity. He says, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Brethren, these are things, these are garments that you and I should put on so that we can faithfully serve the Lord Jesus Christ as believer priests. Brethren, how can you intercede for someone and pray for them in intercessory prayer, brethren, if we don't have on a garment of mercy and humbleness of mind and forbearance and forgiving and charity? Brethren, how can we do that? We can't. Brethren, how can we offer up spiritual sacrifices if we don't have such garments upon us? Brethren, look here. that priest had to be of the right seed, and then he had to have the garments on. You will offer up spiritual sacrifices to God, you've got to be of the right seed. You've got to be born again. Born of the Spirit of God. Born from above. But then, not only did he have to be the right seed, he had to put those holy garments on. Brethren, if we're going to serve the Lord faithfully, we need to put those holy garments on. Like Paul says, put on, therefore. Put on bowels of mercies. Brethren, you and I have obtained mercy from the Lord. And you and I should put on bowels of mercies and have mercy and a merciful attitude toward one another. Kindness. My goodness, brethren. God's people ought to be the kindest of people. We ought to be the kindest of people. Kindness is not the same as weakness. Kindness does not mean that you're a compromiser. But then you can stand for truth and right and uncompromisingly so and be kind. Brethren, kindness is not weakness. The very strongest of men can afford to be kind. For they have nothing to prove. Kindness. Mercies. Kindness. Long-suffering. Hasn't God been long-suffering with you? Surely He has. Then, brethren, you and I need to be long-suffering with our children. With our children, we need to be long-suffering. Homeschooling moms, need a dose of that, huh? Need long-suffering. Long-suffering with our children. We're like, well, why can't they get it? Is not your father perhaps saying sometimes, why can't she get it? Or why can't he get it? Huh? We need long suffering. All right? With our children, with our husbands, with our wives. Lord, when is my husband ever going to wake up? Lord, when is my wife ever going to, God, when is she ever going to see what she needs to see? And but the Lord's asking when we're going to see. Well, He's been trying consistently to show us that we need long-suffering. Brethren, we need to be forbearing with one another. Forgiving one another. Even as Christ also forgave you, so also do ye. Brethren, it's a wicked thing to hold a grudge. It's a wicked, devilish thing to hold a grudge and be bitter and hateful towards someone. Let me tell you something, my friend. If someone seeks your forgiveness, now the ball's in your court. To forgive. Yeah, but I don't know. Oh, only thing you can go on is what they say. You don't know what their heart is. You don't know what their heart is. What did the Lord Jesus say? Peter said, Lord, how many times a day shall I forgive my brother? Seven times? Jesus said, not seven times, but 70 times seven. 70 times, seven times in a day, if he trespasses against you and repent and turn to you and ask for your forgiveness. See, you know what we would do? I just don't believe your heart. Whoa. You can't see inside there. All you can see is what comes out of his mouth and his actions. Now, if he reveals what his heart is, that's another matter. But brother, if he asks you, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Now, the ball's in your court. To forgive. To forgive. Come on. How many times a day are you wanting God to be merciful and forgiving with you? How many times a day? How many times a day are there attitudes that creep in on you? How many times a day when you're dealing with the public, perhaps, or you're going down the road or whatever, how many times a day, Lord, I'm so sorry. God, I shouldn't have had that attitude. Lord, I'm sorry for having that. How many times a day? My goodness, brethren, be careful, be careful. You don't want to be like that one to whom his Lord forgave this great amount, like I said in Sunday school this morning. His Lord forgave him this great amount, and then someone owed him a pittance, and he grabbed it up and said, pay me all that you owe me. He said, just have mercy with me. And I will. No, I'm not. And what threw him in there, you know, the debtor's prison or whatever, until he paid it. And the Lord of that servant found that out and said, I showed you mercy and you did that. Pal, you're going to pay it all now. You're going to pay it all. Delivered him up to the last bit. Listen, brethren, you and I want God to be merciful with us day by day. We want that. You and I need to be showing mercy to others and those around us with a forgiving spirit. When they seek it. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now, brethren, if we're going to serve the Lord faithfully as believer priests, we need these garments on. Brethren, we certainly can't hope to go in God's power and might if His Spirit is grieved. Brethren, if you want something done for the Lord, in fact, brethren, that's why I beg you to pray for the services before we have services.
Brethren, you need to pray, brethren, for the singing, for the preaching, for the playing, for everything that's said and done. And if we want God's power and might to be present in the midst of us and to anoint what we do, brethren, we can't be grieving His Spirit with malice and bitterness and hatred and variance and strife and such things like that. Brother, listen, if you're coming in, if there's an argument between husband and wife out there in the car, and you come in here, nobody else might be able to tell, but the Holy Ghost knows. The Holy Ghost knows. And there'll be a grieving. You say, well, that's what I do. Realize what's going on and get it took care of there. Out there. Get it made right. Or get it took care of as quick as you can so that God's Spirit isn't grieved. Because we want things done in demonstration of the Spirit and power and the fullness of His strength and of His power in our midst. All right, now, go back to Exodus 39. Let me show you what I want to look at here next. Exodus 39. And in our reading, brethren, that we read this morning, and I won't go back over and read the whole thing again, but in our reading this morning, I want you to notice that when this ephod was made, Aaron had the names of the children of Israel upon his shoulders and upon his heart. He had the names of the children of Israel upon his shoulders and upon his heart. And, brethren, with that in mind, I want to say this to you, brethren. Shoulders and heart. I mean, look what it says. It says in verse number 6, and they wrought onyx stones enclosed in ouches of gold, graven as signets are graven, with the names of the children of Israel. And he put them on the shoulders of the ephod, that they should be stones for a memorial to the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses. And then later on, brethren, they made the breastplate. All right? The breastplate. And the breastplate, we're going to have these different stones that are on there. Verse 14, and the stones were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, every one with his name, according to the 12 tribes. So, brethren, the names of the children of Israel were on the shoulders and upon the heart of Aaron. Now, brethren, shoulders are for carrying loads and burdens. That's what shoulders are for. If you're gonna load something up and you put it on your shoulders. Shoulders are for carrying loads and shoulders are for carrying burdens. Take your Bible, go to 1 Peter 5. Now I want you to notice something. I want you to go to 1 Peter 5. And hold your place there and go to Matthew 11. 1 Peter 5. And while holding your place there, go to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. 1 Peter 5. Look at verse 7. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now did you get that? The Lord said, the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. Casting all, A-L-L, all your care. Brethren, you know what the Lord wants to do? God, now don't you get this, God wants you to give to Him those burdens you can't carry around. They'll crush you, they'll drive you to the ground, you can't carry them. God wants you to give Him those things you can't carry. But then He wants you to carry the load that He wants you to carry. Now, God doesn't leave you unburdened. It's just that His burden is different from the burden and cares of this world. It's different. Did you know that some things, you know some machines and sometimes some things work best under a load? Some things work best under a load. Brethren, it's not that the Lord wants you totally unloaded, unburdened. It's just He wants you to have, and I want you to get this and don't forget it, He wants you to have the right burden and the right load. Now what we read in in 1 Peter, it says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So listen, all the cares you've got, cares about family members, about friends, people's salvation, health things, things on the job, all those cares, all those things, the bills, the things. Look, do right according to the principles of the Word of God and cast all that care upon Him. Then, look at Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me,
all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. But it is a burden. But it's light. It's light. But there is a burden, brethren, that you and I, the Lord's burden. Brethren, when a man gets called to the mission field, you know what? That's God's burden that He lays upon that man to carry. Brother, we couldn't have a burden. Why? How does a man get a yearning on his heart for people he's never met or doesn't know? That's God has that burden for those people and transfers it to that man. Brother, any kind of ministry we have, it's God's burden, if it's a right one, and it's His concern, and we take it from Him and take that burden and that load upon ourselves and yoke up with Him to get the work done He wants done. So, brother, the cares, the concerns, the things that you can't do anything about, the things that are just going to drive you down to the ground, give those things to Him. And then you take the burden and the care and the yoke that He wants you to bear. Let me tell you something. You can't, brother, listen to me this morning. The Lord wants you to give Him your burdens, and He wants you to take His. Your load is too heavy for you, but His load you can handle by His grace. He says His yoke is easy, so there is a yoke. And His burden is light. It is a burden. But brethren, it's not a weighted down burden. It's a burden you can operate under. Like I said, brethren, there are some things are designed to where they operate best under a load. Not a wrong load. Not a misappropriated load. But a proper load. Alright? And some that thing will just hum and do right, man, under a right load. Okay, some. God wants you to have the right load. And that's His burden. For souls. A burden for the things that the ministry or whatever God would have you to do. The thing that He's placed upon your heart. Hey, some of you ladies in here, what you're doing with your children. Listen, praise God. That's a right and a good burden. All right? That's a right and a good load there. All right? Take that thing and have that thing and say, God, help me to teach my children and help me to guide them in the things of you and help me to do right. All right? But listen, ladies, let me say this to you. Don't take on your shoulders a burden that God's got for your husband. That's the load for a husband to carry. Don't you take that. Alright? The bills, the concerns, the this, the that, the thing. That's His. You leave that one alone. And what you've got there and bring those little young'uns up, and you got the house, you take that one. And you know what? Since that's a burden from God for you that is right, you can handle that one. But you step off and you take a burden God never intended for you to have, you ain't be able to handle it. You see, that's what's going on. Let me run a little rabbit trail just a minute. That's what's going on today so very often. The devil has got women taking loads upon themselves God never designed for them to carry. When a woman puts herself into a man's world, I can do it. I can do it. I can do anything. You aren't designed that way. And when a woman takes upon herself a load that God meant for a man to carry, she ain't going to be able to handle it. She's not going to be able to handle it because that book says she's the weaker vessel. She's got a burden and a load that God gives her that is proper and right. But you take a burden and load that's not yours, you can forget it. That's why the devil wants to get these role reversals going on. He wants a man to take a woman's place, a woman to take a man's place, a kid to take an adult's place, and an adult to act like kids. He wants confusion. And you get that, you've got a mess of things. All right, but now, brother, listen, give those cares to the Lord, but take the burden He wants you to have. And can I say this to you? Now, remember, Aaron had the names on his shoulders and on his heart. Listen, you can carry someone's load without necessarily caring for the person. Did you know that? Listen to me, because I want you to get this, please, in spite of my fumbling ways, get this morning. Aaron was to carry their names on his shoulders and his heart, both. Brother, you can carry a person's load and not necessarily care for the person. A lot of times, brethren, people do things out of duty or importunity or because they've just been put out. It's like, okay, I'll do it. And they carry it, but they ain't carrying it from their heart. They've got it upon their shoulders, but not upon their heart. Brethren, it makes all the difference in the world when your heart gets involved. When the heart gets involved, it makes all the difference in the whole wide world. Brethren, we are to... What does the Bible tell you? Well, go to Galatians 6. Look what it says. Galatians 6. Do you want to be miserable? You want to be miserable to do this? Listen, I, brother, sister, somebody needs help. Can you give a hand? Okay. And there you go, trudging with that burden. I mean, just muttering this, that, and the other. But you know what? When your heart can get in it and you realize, man, I want to be a blessing and a help. Boy, you can take that load and boy, you're upright. Because I want to tell you something. You get to going this way with a load, you're going down. You get to going this way with a load and pretty soon, boy, you're going down and you're going to be biting dust. You're going to be right down there eating some dirt. You know why you're not going to carry a load? Run up there and straighten and square up. Square up and go with it. Let me tell you something. If your heart ain't in something, you ever want this? When your heart ain't in something, your head goes down. Well, you get your heart in something, you can square it up. All right. You got it there. And boy, you can go with it. It makes all the difference in the world when you get your heart in it. Galatians 6, look at verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Brethren, we as saints are to bear one another's burdens. And you know what that means? That means it's going to put us out at times. If we're going to fulfill the law of Christ and bear one another's burdens, that means we are going to be put out at times. That means we're going to be inconvenienced. That means that sometimes our plans are going to be interrupted. Alright? And now listen, the flesh says, I planned on this, I planned on that, and your flesh just gets all, that's where this is. And a lot of times we say, okay, I'll do it. That's the shoulders. But the heart ain't kicking in yet. You know what you need to do? You need to recover and say, Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want to glorify you. I want to honor you. Hoist that thing up. Get your heart in there and bear one another's burdens. With the right attitude and with your heart. You say, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is, you know what? That person whose load you're bearing, somebody's probably watching. Somebody's probably watching. And you know what they're saying? Man, those people really are different. They just don't say they're saved. I see a difference in their life. They really got something. And boy, they'll start working on their heart. Jesus said that's how all men would know that we were His disciples, in that you love one another. That you love one another. And people are watching and they're looking at that stuff. They're noticing it. Alright? So, brethren, you and I, we're to bear one of those burdens, and we're also to have each other upon our heart. Look at Philippians 1. Philippians 1. Philippians 1, and look at verse 1. Well, Philippians 1, look at verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it under the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. You know where Paul said he had him at? In his heart. In his heart. You know what he said? He said, bear one of those burdens. Well, that's the shoulders. Then he said, I have you in my heart. Brethren, you and I ought to have, just like that high priest, he had the names on his shoulders, and he had them upon his heart. Brethren, you and I ought to have others' burdens on our shoulders. We ought to be willing to do for one another, but we ought to do it out of a right heart and from our heart. And brethren, look here. It's not enough to say, you're on my heart, but never get the shoulders involved. And brethren, we can get the shoulders involved, but if the heart's not involved, that ain't going to work neither. Brethren, it's both. It's both. And man, listen, when we've got it like that, we can get something done. Brethren, that breastplate that had the names of the children of Israel on it, when you doubled it up, the Urim and the Thummim were also put in there. And the Urim and the Thummim were used in determining the will of God. The Urim and the Thummim. From what I've gathered, it seems to mean lights and perfection. Somehow, the Urim and the Thummim were used to figure out the will of God, like casting a lot or finding out that Urim and Thummim would be used. And it was kept in the breastplate right up here. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians 6 and look at verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God. Where from? The heart. From the heart. Brethren, listen. When your heart gets involved, you'll seek the will of God in a matter. You won't just do what's expected. You'll find out what God would have you to do individually and specifically. You say, Brother Doss, what do you mean? Brother, I'm saying it makes all the difference in the world when the heart gets involved. Let's suppose that an offering is taken up for missions. A lot of times, brother, people out of duty or out of, well, maybe people think I'm not giving anything or whatever, they'll give something. But when your heart gets involved, guess what you'll do? Lord, what would you have me to do? God, what do you want me specifically to do? And it may be then writing a letter or giving a certain amount more or doing this or that. Man, when your heart gets in there, it makes all the difference in the world. Everybody, that's the thing. Doing the will of God from the heart. Not just doing it. Doing it from the heart. Not just activity, but having your heart in there. Having your heart toward God and seeking His will and His face and His desires. Now, brethren, if you'll go back and read in Exodus 39, if you'll go back and read, you'll find that the breastplate was attached to the shoulder pieces. You'll find that that breastplate was attached to the shoulder pieces. Can I ask you something this morning? Are you carrying a right burden are only of duty and not of the heart? Brother, I can't answer that for you, but I do want you to answer it honestly between you and God this morning. Are you carrying around a right burden? Or do you only have duty and nothing from the heart? Or maybe you will do what you're expected to do or asked to do, but do you do it with the right attitude? Can you do it with joy? Are you wanting to do what's right? I know we've got to bring our brain, our flesh in, our flesh wants to do. But is there a desire to have the right attitude, to do it the right way? Or is it merely just duty or what's expected? Now, let's be honest with ourselves. Let me ask you something. Do you have a burden on your heart, but aren't doing anything about it? See, it can work the other way too. Maybe you have a burden on your heart, but you're not doing anything about it. Maybe you really got, you're burdened about something, and boy, you'd like, maybe there's somebody you're burdened about, or a group you're burdened about, or a missionary, or something to do. You got it on your heart, but you've not transferred it to your shoulders yet. There's not anything you're doing about it. When the shoulders and the heart are joined together, you can go to town. Because remember, that shoulder piece was joined, the breastplate was joined to the shoulder pieces. There was a connection there. Brethren, there's got to be a connection between the heart and those shoulders. I mean, between having a heart's yearning towards something and transferring it to action. And then conversely, God forbid that we have the action, but it's not heartfelt. Not with all our heart. Man, they both need to be in there. I want you to go back real quick to Exodus 39. Exodus 39. And look at verse 20. And they made two other golden rings and put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath toward the fore part of it over against the other coupling thereof above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they did bind the breastplate by his rings under the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, look, that it might be above the curious girdle of the ephod and that the breastplate might not be loosed from the ephod as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, I want you to notice this. Your girdle was right here. A girdle is a belt. And it was right here. And the breastplate was above that. And it was bound to the shoulder pieces. And it was above that. And notice that it says that it might be above the curious girdle of the ephod. And that the breastplate might not be loosed from the ephod. Let me say this to you. I want you to notice by what we just read that the breastplate was not to be loosed or worn below the girdle. What are you saying, Brother Doss? I'm saying this. Don't lose the burden God has given you. And don't let it move away from your heart. This breastplate had the names of the children of Israel. It was bound up the shoulder pieces. It was to be above the girdle. It wasn't supposed to go below that girdle. And it wasn't supposed to be loosed from up here. Listen, whatever burden God has put upon you, it may be a burden for a missionary, a ministry you have, somebody you may be with, a family member, whatever. Whatever God has laid upon you, as you've given your cares to Him, The burden God has transferred to you then that He wants you to operate under. Don't lose that burden. And if you find it slipping, go to God and say, God, forgive me, God. I'm starting to pick back up the cares of this life and the burdens of this life. And I'm starting to let yours slip and get those things back adjusted right. And don't let it fall. Don't let it fall. Don't let it... Listen, brother, did you know something? Don't lose the burden God has given you. Don't let it move away from your heart. You can carry a burden near your heart, but when it moves away from your heart, it will become a nuisance and an aggravation unto you. You say, but what are you talking? Brother, can you imagine if that breastplate got loose and was hanging below the girdle? That's where you walk at. That, you ever had something just banging and getting in your way when you're walking? Just getting all in your way. You know, just and brethren, see, as long as that breastplate was here, attached to the shoulder pieces, it could be born. But you know what? If it was hanging down there, it would just get in the way and get aggravating and get... Brother, you know something, brethren? When things get out of order, you want to know... Here's a little something to tell you when you need to do a checkup. Something ain't right. When service for God starts becoming aggravating and you start getting... It becomes a nuisance and you get aggravated with it. You need to pull aside and get some things right then. That needs to clue you in. When... Doing something, when bearing one of those burdens, when doing something for the saints, when service for God, coming to church, anything, listen, when you start getting aggravated, you need to pull aside and realize, hey, I got to make an adjustment here. Something is wrong. Something's out of order here. That something's getting away from my heart here. Something's getting away from my heart. And brother, that's when we need to make an adjustment. Because brother, we just don't want to, brother, we're going to do things with our heart. And brethren, we can carry the load and the burden God wants us to carry in its right and proper place. But you start beginning to get loose, it'll start getting in your way and start aggravating you. And listen, to be honest with yourself. Oh, we wouldn't want to admit that coming to church or serving God was ever aggravating to us. No, we would outwardly never show that. But inwardly, you know what we need to do? We need to be honest and tell the Lord it's so and say, God... And you know why that happens? We often start picking up burdens we're supposed to be giving to Him. Well, you know, the burdens of the finances, the burdens of the home, the burdens of this, man, give that stuff to God. Give that stuff to the Lord. Jesus said, take no thought, what should we eat or what should we put on, wherewithal should we clothe? That's all those things the Gentiles seek. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. Get things in the right order. If you don't get them in the right order, that burden on your heart there will start going and it'll start becoming an aggravation to you. We'll try to build a good face, but we're being aggravated. It's getting in the way. We've got to get things back in the right order. Cast all our cares upon Him, but then take that yoke and that easy burden that He's got, and on the shoulders, on the heart. Boy, we can joyfully do service for God then. Brethren, let me say this to you also. A couple things. Without the breastplate, there would have been an empty space in the ephod over the heart. See, the ephod had shoulder pieces and it come around here, but then you had the breastplate. If the breastplate wasn't there, there would have been an empty place over the heart. Let me ask you something. Is something missing in your life? Could it be, see that breastplate, if it wasn't there, there'd be an empty space. Could it be that you have motion and activity but no heart-born burden for what God wants you to carry, for the burden He wants you to have. Maybe you have activity, but is your heart in it? Where is your heart at? I mean, thank God for duty. Thank God for duty. But boy, what a blessing when you get the heart in there too, man. And do it from the heart of the Lord. Where is your heart at? You know, brethren, I'll tell you what hit my mind this morning. I reckon in a couple of weeks, they're going to have the Super Bowl. Big football game, Super Bowl. And this morning I was standing there and I thought to myself, I felt sorry. I felt sorry for the ones participating in it. I felt sorry for all the crowds going to it. I felt sorry for them. You say, Brother, why did you feel sorry for them? I felt sorry for them because I realized how empty it all is. I felt sorry for them because I realized how empty it all is and they're trying so hard. Do you know why they make such a big deal out of it? Brethren, they're trying to convince themselves that it's something big to satisfy that missing part. They've got to hype it up, to build it up, so they can get some satisfaction because it's not real. It's an illusion. It's a lie. The only thing that satisfies, brethren. I'm going to tell you something I thought to myself this morning. I thought, man, brethren, if it wasn't for knowing God through Jesus Christ and serving Him, there's no purpose to this life. But I'm going to tell you something, brethren, in knowing God through Jesus Christ, praise God, I have reason to live. I have reason, I have purpose, I have fulfillment. And every saint of God has that. The question is, are we fulfilling it though? Are we doing as we ought to do? You've got purpose, are you fulfilling that purpose? And that's the big thing to ask. Brethren, look here. The Lord said, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. He said, for my yoke is easy, my burden's light. The Lord doesn't want us. See, a lot of people, listen, brother, sometimes people get the attitude that the Lord saves them just so they can live any way they want. Oh, no, 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 no. The way of the transgressor is hard. God saves you from sin. And God don't want you loaded down with that guilt and that burden and with the cares of this life. He says, cast all those things upon Him. But it's not a matter of you just going around in life without any kind of load upon you. Oh, no, no, no. The Lord wants you to have His burden. His yoke. Oh, but how light and easy it is compared to that heavy, crushing load of guilt and sin. But see, brethren, the load we had before we were saved was to no purpose, just to crush us. But the load and the yoke we've got with the Lord Jesus, it's got purpose to it. It's got purpose. Alright? And you get in there and start pulling on that thing, man, you've got purpose. You're accomplishing something for the Lord that has effect here and hereafter. The thing of it is, you want to get both involved. The shoulder and the heart. Let me ask you this morning in closing. Without that breastplate, I said, there's an empty space there. Is there an empty space in your heart? Is there? That could be because not being saved, or it could be because, listen, you're not taking the yoke and the burden that God wants you to have. Listen, are you just have the shoulders involved? You just have activity, but your heart ain't in it? Man, that's not the way to go. Man, you want to have shoulders and heart. You want to get in there full bore with it, man. With ready to do something for the Lord with all your heart. But I'm going to be honest with you. Like I said, if you find that service for God or the things of God are starting to get aggravating or in the way, you're losing something. And you need to get things readjusted. You know what's probably happening? You start to take on those cares of that life, the life of life again. Cares of life. Concerns out there. Rather than giving all that to the Lord, and saying, oh Lord, I want your burden. I want your yoke. God, I want that. I want my heart to be where it ought to be. I want my shoulders involved. I want the whole thing. Maybe there needs to be an adjustment. If that be the case, man, be honest with God. Get it right. Make the adjustment. And get in there and get the pulling for God and have that fulfillment and fulfilling that purpose He created you for. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time this morning before Your Word. Dear Lord, Father, I don't know what the situation of every person would be, but Lord, Thou dost know. Lord, I pray You'd help us to be open and honest with Thee and with ourselves. And Lord, help us to make an application as Your Spirit would direct us. Father, this we ask in the Lord Jesus' name and please for His sake. Amen. Folks, I'm going to let you go with that.